Daf is Yivam Mustafayin Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Steve Hubert, Lezecher Nishmas, his father, Yosef Ben Moshe, Alav Shalom. We thank Steve very much for the sponsorship and pray that our learning should be an aliyah for the neshama of Yosef Ben Moshe, Alav Shalom. We left off on the bottom of Daf Ayin Aleph from Beis. There were two lines on the bottom. Uba Midbar, my time alomol. The first discussion we're going to have is why it is that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar didn't do Bris Mila. This is going to lead us to the concept of Shomer Psoim Hashem. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit when that concept applies, that one can do dangerous things and just trust that if you act in a simple, normal way, Akadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect. But then the Gemara is going to move on and discuss the issue of a Mashuch Ba'ar Lasso. What's the status of someone who had a bris mila, but then was moshech ba'ar lasso, and now has covered up his bris mila? To what extent is he considered like an arel, and to what extent is he not considered like an arel? And that's going to lead us into more discussion about tumtum as well. The Gemara is also going to talk about the zman for bris mila. Does bris mila have to be done during the day? What about a mila shelo bizmana? Does that have to be done during the day as well? We're similarly going to discuss nosar. The halacha is nosar has to be burnt during the day, but is that only bizmana when it's the first day? Or even shelo bizmana, even if you have nosar left over for several days, does it have to be done during the day? Maybe it could be done at night as well. Then the Gemara is going to talk about in the middle of Amud Beis whether an arel is able to do hazaah of the Efer Paraduma. Now, certainly, we already discussed yesterday whether the Arul can be Mekabel the Hazaah. To what extent, and this touches on a larger issue of to what extent an Arel is considered Tameh. He's not what we would normally call Tameh in that he would transmit Tumah to anybody else or anything else, but to what extent do we consider that on some level the Arel has a status of a tameh. So let's begin two lines from the bottom on Daf Ayin Aleph of Beis. Says the Gemara, "Bemidbar my time below Mahul. Why is it that the Jewish people did not get a bris mila in the midbar?" Before we get to the answers as to why they didn't get a bris mila in the midbar, we first need to verify that they didn't get a bris mila in the midbar. Tosfos points out over here in the first my time below Mahul, mashmud lo mahul klal. It sounds like they didn't get a bris mila at all, according to our Gemara. Pirkei the Rav Lazar mashmud shemalu dekamer mimana for Yaakov ra kalam. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that when Bilam was blessing Klal Yisrael and he says Mimana Afar Yaakov, he was actually referring to a midbar that was full of that was full of foreskins because of all of the bris milas that Klal Yisrael was doing. And also the Megillah Starm of Rabbi Nissim sounds like they did a mila, that they just didn't do Priya, because it says that for the 40 years they were in the Midbar, they weren't Poreya because of the Inoya Darach, but it sounds like Mila they did do. So Tosa seems to indicate that it's a Machlokas, Talmud Bavli and Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that our Gemara assumes there was no Mila whatsoever. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar assumes that they did Mila when they were in the Midbar. The Meiri suggests that maybe it's not a Stira at all. Maybe the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is not saying that they did Mila. He's saying that Bilam, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is saying that Bilam saw the Zechus of Mila. Bilam was not looking physically, he was looking spiritually. So it could be that he was that he saw something and he saw a lot about Mila, but it wasn't really that the Midbar itself was full of Mila. The Midbar was full of the future Zechus of Bris Mila. But Tosfos clearly assumes that it is a machlokas between the two. Now in the next Tosfos he raises the question, Vim Tomar Veicha Yoachun Kachimo Afilu Basar Klal Kimin Shalom Alu Shlohutal and Basar Taiva Elali De Shlomim V'Aro Lasser B'Kachim. Well, if they didn't have a Bris Mila, then they were all at Reilim, and if they're at Reilim, they're not allowed to bring Karbanos, and the only way they could eat meat is through Basar Kachim, is through Basar of Karbanos. Basar Taiva wasn't mutter to them yet. V'Afilu And he says, and even if you can say, like Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, they're a mal v'lo paru, but the halacha is that someone who's mal v'lo para, it's kilu lo mal, so he shouldn't be allowed to eat meat anyway. Says Tosfos, Yishlomer diyotze Mitzrayim malu uparu, va'osam achlu kachim, avla yiludu b'midbar shalom malu, When it comes to those who did not get a milah because they were born in the midbar, they didn't eat kachim. They were not able to eat basar kachim. It's only those that were born in Mitzrayim and came out of Mitzrayim that were able to eat basar kachim. Aval b'basar taiva, however, Tosa says, "Hayu mutarim shlo nesalah me'achas she'nichol me'achol kachim mid dahava tziva ayil dehechad lo shabak krava shori basar taiva k'tibirish parakam d'chulun." He says, however, those who were not able to eat basar kachim, it was never the basar taiva was not asr to them. Basar taiva was only asr to those who could eat basar kachim. So those who were born in the midbar, since they couldn't eat basar kachim, were allowed to eat basar taiva. So back to the Gemara's question: why is it in the midbar we didn't get a bris mila? Iba yisema mishum chul shadu urcha, viba yisema mishum delo nashav lehu ruach tzvonis. Either because the traveling weakened them to the point where doing a mila would have been dangerous, or is that the therapeutic ruach tzvonis never blew while they were in the midbar, and therefore they were never going to be able to heal properly from a bris mila? So is sakana on that level. The Ritva writes that b'derech, when we say chol shadorcha, means if you're traveling, it's a sakana to do a bris mila. And since al pi Hashem yachnu v'al pi Hashem yisu, they couldn't just do a bris mila and wait until they're healed to continue the traveling, because they were completely totally on the pi Hashem, on the dvar Hashem, when they were going to travel next. So they couldn't risk it. They couldn't do a bris mila. He says, but if that's the case, that anyone traveling is part from doing a bris mila because it's dangerous. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished for Arlas Beno? He didn't malim because he was returning back to Mitzrayim. He was on the derech back to Mitzrayim. So the Ritva suggests, yeah, but he wasn't al pi Hashem yachnu al pi Hashem yisu. There was no time limit set for him, and he could have stopped off in one place until the mila healed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't koveya azman, but ein achinami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben koveya azman, being on the derech would have been enough of a reason not to give a bris mila. So, the second answer the Gemara says again over here is that lanashva ruach tzvonis. The Tanya, like the Brisa says, kolosan arba'im shana shayisol b'midbar lanashva l'meruach tzvonis. The entire 40 years, Klal Yisrael was in the midbar. The northern wind didn't blow. My time, why didn't the northern wind blow? Either because Hakadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Klal Yisrael for their averos, or it could be that Kodesh Baruch Hu, if he would blow the northern wind, it would blow apart the Ananei HaKavod, and Hashem didn't want the Ananei HaKavod to blow away. Now, we'll get to the Tudas and we'll discuss. Amrav Papa, Hilkach Yoma De'eva V'yoma De'shusa Loma Alinan Bey. Since this is the case about the northern wind, if you have a cloudy day, or if you have a Yoma De'shusa, you have a day that the Ruach Dromus is blowing, which is a dangerous wind, so you shouldn't do a bris mila on such a day. We also shouldn't do bloodletting on such a day. But nowadays, that people don't pay attention to these things, Shomer P'saim Hashem, we just do what we do and we trust that Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of us. Why was Hashem angry at us that the northern wind shouldn't blow? So Rashi writes, Mi Maisa Ha'egel, that it was because of the Maisa Egel that it upset HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we were Nezuf. And Tosa says, Omer Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Mimaisa Meraglim, Velokimo Shpirish Bekunshus Maisa Egel, Shai Machalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Varmalem Salachti. By the Maisa Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti. So it can't be the Maisa Egel that got HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry, that we were Nezufim for. Shachar Kach Nasa Mishkan, Vehishra Shechinasa B'nehem. After the Egel, we had a Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a Shechina. Apparently all was forgiven with the Egel. So it can't be the Maisa Egel, it must be the Maisa Meraglim. What would motivate Rashi to say that it's not the Maisa Meraglim? So the problem is that it says 40 years that Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar. The Maisa Meraglim was not yet. It wasn't until the second year. So that's why that's L'chora, what drives Rashi. So the fact that it says 40 years, even though the Maisa Meraglim was only in the second year, so the other Rishonim say, it's not just Tosfos, Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Miri, they all disagree with Rashi, but they say when it says 40 years, it doesn't mean 40 years Dafka, means that you know, for throughout the majority of the overwhelming majority of their stay in the Midbar. So that's why we always refer to the stay in the Midbar as being a 40-year stay in the Midbar, even though in Achinami it wasn't actually 40 years in the Midbar. Now Tosos over here on the top quotes from a Sifri that it's Begnus and Shal Yisrael that the Torah says that they only made one Korban Pesach for 40 years in the Midbar, because we only find that they did a Korban Pesach in the second year. And Tosos asks, wait a second, why is that Begnus and Shal Yisrael? Did they not bring a Korban Pesach b'mezid? If it was because Milas Sacharim that were Ma'akev, so it's considered a Gnus because they caused the Milas Sacharim to be Ma'akev. But you can't say that that's why they didn't bring, because Milas Sacharim is not Ma'akev if they're not able to be Malda Sacharim. That's what we looked yesterday. Himalov va'az yikrav, that you have a Seder Advarim, you're supposed to do Mila and then bring, but if you're Anus, like Chavish Beis Hasurim, where you're unable to do Mila, so Mila, the Mila Sacharim is not going to be Ma'akev. So it also says, no, they did bring the Korban Pesach, but they only brought one kitikna. They only brought one properly, meaning in the second year there wasn't any arelim in their midst. But mikan ve'elach, the arelim did not bring Korban Pesach. The mulim did bring Korban Pesach, and even though there were arelim in their families, the Ramban, however, the Ramban al Torah and the Ramban over here say that b'midbar the mila sucharim is ma'akev. That not having in the midbar, the fact that their children didn't have mila, even though they couldn't do it, that was ma'akev. So the Marsha wonders, what's the difference between being in the midbar and not being able to mal your children, and being chavish beis hasurim and not being able to mal your children? We have no problem with the person who's chavish beis hasurim bringing Korban Pesach. Why do we have a problem with the person in the midbar not bringing Korban Pesach? So Shar Melech is miyashiv, that when it says that which an ones is not ma'akev, that's only by an ones in the shechita, where in the shas achila you will be able to do the mi'ila, and it's not going to be ma'akev, as opposed to even in the shas achila you're not going to be able to be mal the machmas ones, then it is going to be ma'akev, even though it's machmas ones. If the ones affects not just the shas shechita, like the case of chavish beis asum that we had yesterday, but it affects the shas achila as well, like in the midbar where it was still going to be the same ones at the shas achila, then we say it is ma'akev. Now the Ritva raises a fundamental question over here as well. We said that another reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't blow the Ruach Tzvonis is so that the Anani HaKavod shouldn't scatter. Very strange comment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the ability to blow the Ruach Tzvonis without the Anani HaKavod scattering. The Ritva says it in a different way. He says, you know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, that the Ruach, the wind, when it would blow, it didn't affect the Ashan HaMa'aracha. The smoke that would come up from the top of the Mizbeach was a pillar of smoke, and it didn't blow in the wind one way or another. Some stomach, Rosh Baruch Hu could have arranged it if he managed to arrange it there, so he could have arranged it for the Anani HaKavod as well. A little bit of a funny, even if he didn't arrange it by the Maracha, Rosh Baruch Hu Mistama could arrange it. That's why it's strange. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, no, the Maracha is different, because even though the Ruach didn't affect it entirely, but the whole pillar would move, it would go back and forth like a tree that was waving in the wind, it just wouldn't completely scatter. So what? Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have been able to manage for the Anani HaKavod. So the Ritva says, Pashas, they weren't zocha to another nes. They didn't have the merit to warrant another miracle of that level. But the main issue over here, Shomer Psoim Hashem, that the Gemara says, now Dash Barab, even though in Achinami, really on a cloudy day, we shouldn't be doing a bris milah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the simple ones. So the Ritva writes, if someone has a child and it's time for the bris milah, and he says, you know what, it's a cloudy day, I don't want to do the bris milah, the Ritva says he's well within his rights to not do a bris milah on a cloudy day. It's only he doesn't have to rely on Shomer Psoim Hashem if it's objectively dangerous. And the Ritva says, you know, if it's a cloudy day and it's a milah b'Shabbos, you shouldn't do the milah b'Shabbos, because it could be that there's no mitzvah milah, and it's therefore not going to be docha Shabbos. You don't have a requirement to do the milah on a cloudy day. Milah, it's not going to be docha Shabbos. Obviously, we don't paskin this way. Yom Shoshom points out, and all the later poskim don't paskin this way. On cloudy days, we do a bris milah as well. Apparently, we apply Shomer Psoim Hashem. There's a lot of discussion. What exactly are the gedarim of Shomer Psoim Hashem? Rav Moshe has a tshuva, a very famous Shuvah Chosh Mishpach El Beis, Simen Ayin Vav, where he talks about eating fatty foods and smoking, and he puts them together. He assumes that eating fatty foods, since that's something that a lot of people do, And a lot of people are perfectly healthy, even though they do it, even though it's a, and it's very difficult not to, because there are people that are very busy and they have a candy machine, but not a salad machine in their office or whatever the situation is. That makes it very, a lot of times people can't afford to, you know, to eating a healthy diet is very, very expensive. And certainly it could be a challenge for a person to afford it. So he says, this is all under the general category of Shomer Psoim Hashem. And he says, in Bechlal Zeh, also smoking for people who are regilim bazah, for people who are in the habit of this, and his raya that it's not an issue, that it's all in the category of shomer psoim Hashem, he says, is the Rambam. Whenever anyone gives a shir about health, it's always, which there aren't enough of, there aren't too many shir about health, but whenever anyone would give a shir about health, they'd always start with the Rambam, where the Rambam says how a person has to be healthy, and a person has to eat healthy things, and a person has to, he says, yeah, the Rambam says he has to. He doesn't say there's a chiyuv, he doesn't say it's a mitzvah. He says that that's what a person should do. He's giving good advice, that's what a person, that's what an appropriate thing, an appropriate way for a person to behave, but not that it's a formal chiyuv. That's the Rambam Rotzeach Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet, where the Rambam talks about this. So the so that's what Moshe says, that it's not a formal iser, and the reason it's not a formal iser is Shomer P'sam Hashem. And he says, and the same is true with smoking cigarettes for those who are not margilim b'kach, for those who are not. For those who are margilim b'kach, for those who are already addicted, where they can't go without it, and it's like eating delicious food for them. So he says that granted it's a higher incidence of cancer, but there are a lot of people that smoke and never get cancer, and there are a lot of people that get cancer and never smoke. Shomer P'sam Hashem. That's what he writes in the Tshuva. Very difficult, because he makes it sound like that the numbers aren't staggering. That the he makes it sound like the maybe no. It's not really. There have been those who have suggested that had Moshe seen the most current data, that he never would have said Shomer P'sam Hashem. We don't know what he would have or would not have said. What we can be confident is that all the contemporary poskim, I believe, say it's usher, that it's an absolute isser, because the numbers are staggering, that it's overwhelming. So Rav Avadya wrote that it's usher, and Rav Vosner and the Shevet Halevi, it's an absolute isser for a person to smoke cigarettes. But anyway, that's the Shomer P'sam, the most famous application in contemporary poskim of Shomer P'sam Hashem is probably of Moshe. As Rav Moshe's tshuva when smoking cigarettes. It's amazing. Chafetz Chaim wrote that it's aser. Chafetz Chaim said that it's, the doctors say that it's dangerous and apparently could even sometimes cause cancer. Chafetz Chaim says so it's aser. What the Chafetz Chaim knew wasn't even a quarter of what Rav Moshe knew. Chafetz Chaim died in the 1930s, and the people thought it was crazy to suggest that there's a problem with smoking in the 1930s, but Chafetz Chaim held it was enough to meet the level of being aser. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Kolos Rabbanan Shana Shei Yisov V'Midbar Lo Hayom Shelo Nashu V'Ruach Tzfonos B'Chatzi Alayla. The entire 40-year stay that Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, there wasn't a single day that the Ruach Tzfonos didn't blow at exactly midnight. Shnemar V'Hi B'Chatzi Alayla V'Hashem Hiko Kol B'char. My Talmudo, what's the Chiddush? HaKamash Mun Deis Ratzon Milsi. To see that it's an Eis Ratzon, that even in a time where we weren't getting the Ruach Tzfonos, that the Eis Ratzon of Chatzos Alayla is so overwhelming that we even got the Ruach Tzfonos at that Eis Ratzon. That's what the Gemara says, David HaMelech used to wake up at Chatzos HaLayla. He'd have the harp on top of his bed, and the Ruach Tzfonos would blow on the harp, and that was his alarm clock, that it would wake him up, that he could always rely on the Ruach Tzfonos coming dafka at Chatzos HaLayla, because that's particularly an Eis Ratzon. That's what a lot of people assume with Slichos, that Chatzos HaLayla is one of the ideal times for Slichos, because it is an Eis Ratzon. Al Pi Kabbalah, I think they say in Halacha, we assume that before Chatzos HaLayla is not considered an Eis Ratzon, it's considered the opposite of an Eis Ratzon. That's why they suggest that the worst time to say Slichos is the nighttime before Chatzos HaLayla. Much better to do it in the morning, where it's more of a parav time than to do in the before Chatzos HaLayla. Amra Funa Dvar Torah Mashuch Ochel B'Truma. On a Daraisa level, someone who's Moshech Bar Alaso is allowed to eat Truma. Umidivreim Gazra Lav Neshe Nira Ka'aril. It's only in Issad Rabbanon that he's not allowed to eat Truma because he's near a Ka'aril, because he looks like he's an Aril. So that's Rav Funa's Chiddush. The Taz in Yerodeir, some Reish Samach Dal, raises the suffix. What about a katan who's nolad mal, a baby's born with a bris milah, and they do a tafas dan bris, and then he's Moshech Bar Lasso. Is does he require a bris milah min haTorah or not? Meaning the Gemara over here says, Rav Huna says that someone who's Moshech Bar Lasso who once had a bris milah only requires a milah midrabanan. What if he never had a bris milah? What if he was born with a bris and therefore only had a tafes dan bris and then he was Moshech Bar Lasso? So does he need a bris milah min haTorah or not? So the two tzadim of the Safek, the Pri Yitzchak explains that tzadim of the Tazah Safek is do we assume what's the reason that a Moshech Bar Lasso is not considered an Arul Midar Raisa? Is it because he already once had a Bris Milah? Or is it because there's no Shem Arla on anything other than the original Arla that one is born with? If it's because he already had a Bris Milah, well, the guy who was born Mahal and just had a Tafazan Bris never had a Bris Milah. But if it's that there's no and therefore he would require still Midar Raisa. But if it was that there's no Shem Arla on anything other than the foreskin that one is born with, on a Doraisa level, well then even someone who's Nolan Mal and is Moshech Bar Lasso would still not need a Mila on a Doraisa level. That's how they explain that Stadei HaSafek in the Taz. Meisvei Mashuch Tzaruch Sheimol, aye, but don't we say that a Mashuch does require a Bris Mila? It makes it sound like he requires Midaraisa. And says the Gemara, Midrabanan. It doesn't sound like Doraisa. Tzaruch means Midrabanan. In fact, the Dekari Lamai Karila, Hatzaruch Katani. The word Tzaruch is such a Drabanan kind of language. Why would you even question to think that it might be a chiyuv daraisa? And so Gemara Katayiv is safer. The reason we would have thought it's a daraisa is because of what the Sefer goes on to say. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Yimul Meshes Hakani Hila. Rabbi Yehuda says not to do a mila because it's dangerous. Amar Lo and the Chum says Rabbi Yehuda Velo Harbe Malu Biyamei Ben Kuziva, meaning it's dangerous to do a mila on someone who's Moshech Bar Lasso because how many milas can one person handle? He already had a bris mila when he was born, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda says not do it. So Amar Lo the Chum says Rabbi Yehuda Velo Harbe Malu. There were many people that had a bris milah in the days of Ben Kuziva after being Moshech Bar Lasam, and they had families after that. You could do milas over and over and over again. And the pasuk says, as brisi afer, the rabbi says a mashuch, that someone who's Moshech Bar Lasso is being made for bris. What's the second pasuk adding? If you're going to say himal yimal, which implies multiple milos, comes to include sitzna makvan asamila, tashma. That's what the pasuk says. It's brisi afer to tell me l'rabbos hasamashuch, to tell me that even someone's moshech bar lasso can go through a bris milah again. So who's suffering? T'konasul hashas kra to oraisahi. So the havamina was that since we're quoting psukim in this discussion of moshech bar lasso, that shows you that it must be a din d'oraisa and not a din d'rabanan that a moshech bar lasso requires a milah. Veloi midrabanan v'kras machlebi alma. But it happens to be that that's not correct. Really, it's only a din midrabanan. The pasuk is an asmachta bialma. But Rav Huna is correct when Rav Huna says that Dvar Torah. Rav Huna is correct in saying that midar raisa mashuch can eat truma. It's only midrabanan that we're goes there because he's nira ka'aril. Any psukim are only an asmachta. Meisveis asking about tumtum ain't ochel b'truma nashavavad v'ochlin. He said tumtum cannot eat truma, but his wives and his servants may eat truma if he's a kohen. Mashuch v'nolad k'shu mahul harei lo achlim. Someone who's mashuch bar lasso or someone who's born in mahul is allowed to eat truma. Androgynous ochel b'truma vein ochel b'kachim. An androgynous is allowed to eat truma but may not eat kachim. Tumtum ain't ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kachim. And Tumtum himself can't eat truma or kachim. Katani miyas. But bottom line is we said over here mashuch v'nolad k'shu mahul harei lo achlim. Tiyuf t'drafuna. It says that a mashuch Bar Lasso is allowed to eat truma, and also someone who's born kshumal is allowed to eat truma. So you see, it's against Rav Huna. Rav Huna said midirabanan he's not allowed to eat truma, and says Gemara, you're right, tiyufta, that it's correct. That's a tiyufta on Rav Huna. So it turns out that even though Rav Huna is mechadish and midirabanan he's not allowed to eat truma, the Gemara asks a tiyufta on this, where apparently a Moshech Bar Lasso is allowed to eat truma. What about nolad kshumal? So the Yamshel Shlomo says, you see, for me, that a nolad kshumal doesn't require a tafes dan bris, because it says nolad kshumal can also eat truma. If he required a tafes dan bris, why would he be allowed to eat truma? But the Rambam says clearly not that way. The Rambam clearly does not make the two talis ebezet. The Rambam in Hilchos Trumos writes like the Braisa that a nolad mal is able to eat truma, and in Hilchos Mila Perak Aleph Halacha Zayin passing that a nolad mal does require hatafes dan bris. And what this points to is what we always point out, that when you look at bris mila, you can't can't just look at one mitzvah of mila. There's a difference. There's the mitzvah of mila, and then there's a shem orel, and then there's lios mahul. There's the three elements, like the Ragat Shavra points out, of bris mila. The Rambam says, yes, yeah, someone who's null and mal requires hatavas dam bris, because you need to do a mitzvah mila. But the he's allowed to eat truma because he's not an orel. An orel means someone who has arla, so he doesn't have an arla, so he's not an orel. Mele, he's allowed to eat truma. The two issues are not tali zebezeh, because there are different elements different elements of the mitzvah of mila that are mechayiv. That's what that Rambam clearly points to. Amar mar. Tumtum ein ochel b'truma. So we just said that a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma, but nashim avad v'ochlim. But his wives and his avadim are allowed to eat truma. Wait a second, the wife of a tumtum? Nashim v'tumtum inalei. Where does a tumtum get a wife from? So you mean we're not just asking Stam, how does a tumtum find a shilach? We're saying that a tumtum doesn't have the ability to be mekadesh and isha. Ilei medekadesh, if you're going to say that a tumtum did kiddushin, detanya tumtum shekidesh kiddush of kiddushin, because the Brisa says that a tumtum that does kiddushin, we are choshish for such a kiddushin, and niskadesh kiddush of kiddushin, and similarly, if a man is mekadesh or tumtum, we're also choshish for the kiddushin. Emor damar lechumra lekula mi'amrinan. Yeah, that's lechumra. We're choshish for the kiddushin, but not lekula. We would never say anything lekula that we can rely on that kiddushin for anything lekula. So to say that a tumtum's wife is going to be allowed to eat truma, that's a kula to allow his wife to eat truma. No, we're only choshish for kiddushin in that we're not going to let that woman marry anyone else until the tumtum gives her a get. Okay, a chumra will say, but safek isha who? He's a safek isha, ve'in isha mekadesh is isha. And it's pretty fundamental that a woman cannot be mekadesh another woman. So obviously there's no sense of kiddushin over here. It says the Gemara, Amar Abayi, kishabetz of nikaros mibuchutz. We're not talking about a tumtum that we have no idea about. We're talking about a tumtum where you can see the beitz of mibuchutz, and therefore we know that he's really a male, and that's why the kiddushin is a valid kiddushin. But still, he can't have bia. So if he can't have bia, his chuppah is not a valid chuppah, and therefore he shouldn't be able to be machil b'truma. Since they could be korea him, and then he would become a bar bia, so he's considered to be someone who's already a bar chuppah, since there's a fix. Rava amar my nashav imo. Rava says, no, when we say that his wives, that his women are allowed to eat truma, it doesn't mean his wives. It means his mother is allowed to eat truma. Meaning if his mother was a Bas Yisrael, who was Nisei Slokohen, and they had the tumtum child, and then the father died, so the mother is allowed to eat truma because she has offspring from a Kohen. Well, that obviously the mother is going to be allowed to eat truma. Why would the mother not be allowed to eat truma on account of this offspring? One might have thought that having a child who's able to himself have children can allow the mother to have truma, but offspring from a kohen who themselves cannot have their own children would not allow the mother. It would be that's not a fulfillment of b'nei banim areim kibanim. It wouldn't be a fulfillment of meaning the whole idea is to continue the chain, is to be able to continue the masara. But if you know that the chain ends there, so then you would think it does not machil truma. Tashma. Tumtum ain't ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kachim. A tumtum cannot eat truma, nor can eat kachim. Bishlam la Abaye. So according to Abaye's answer that we said, that base of Nikaros Mibachutz, Tana Resha Arel Vadai. So the Resha talks about base of Mibachutz, where he's definitely an Arel, because we know that he's a male and he doesn't have a bris mila. V'ketani Seifa Safek Arel. Then the Seifa says that even if he's Nistam Lagamri, even if he's completely closed and we don't know what he is, so that's the case of the sefer, that he's not ochel b'truma b'kachim. El Rava tumtum the sefer lamali. But according to Rava, that nashav just meant imo, and that even the Reisha already spoke about a case where he's completely nistam legamri. What's the sefer adding? So it says Gemara, my tumtum arel. It's when it says tumtum, the sefer doesn't really mean a tumtum over here; it really means an arel. Well, frakta Gemara, hashta safik arelo achil vaday arelo achil. Well, if the Reisha already told me that a tumtum cannot eat because he's a safik arel, do you need a sefer to come and tell me that a Vadai Arel is not allowed to eat? Of course, if a Savik Arel can't, then a Vadai Arel obviously can't. So says Gemara, no, the way Rav understands it is Matam Ka'amar. Omar. We're explaining the logic of the Resha. Matam tum tum eino ochel b'truma. Why is it that we say in the Resha the tum tum is not allowed to eat truma? Mipnei shesafik arel hu. V'arel eino ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kachim. It's because he's safik arel, which leads us right into the Seifa, and we know the halach is that an arel is not allowed to eat truma or kachim. So the Seifa is simply explaining the Resha. Lema Ketanai says, going back on this issue of Moshech Bar Arlasa that we had before, where Rav Huna said that Moshech Bar Arlasa is only Aser Midrabanan, so maybe this is actually Machlokas Tanayim. Now it's interesting, what would the Machlokas be? So one would think that it would be whether there's an Isser Drabanan or no Isser at all. So Rashi over here, however, points out, Lema Ketanai Milsa Rav Huna Tanayi Yavi Moshech Do Raisa Odrabanan, whether the din of Moshech Bar Lasso is a din d'oraisa or it's a din d'rabanan. Meaning, even though we had a braisa that said Hareilu Ochlin, that even midrabanan they're allowed to eat, and we said that was a tiyufta on Rav Huna, but initially when we questioned Rav Huna, we said that we questioned him from a braisa that quoted psukim about Moshech Bar Lasso. So this Lema Ketanai is going on that issue, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Moshech v'gershin is gayer k'shum mahu. If a katan shavers mano, if you have a mashuch bar lasso, or someone who converts when he already had a mila, or a katan shavers mano, the child who's past the time of his bris and he still has not yet had a bris mila, v'shar kalani malim, and anyone else who needs a bris mila, lasu yimishli yishol shtei arelos, including someone who has two foreskins, eino nimolin ela bayom, the bris mila can only be done during the daytime. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says, v'zmano ein nimolin ela bayom. When it's a mila v'zmana, then it can only be done during the daytime, but shalom bismano nimal biyamu b'layla. Once the meal is going to be pushed off and it's not going to be bisman, so then it can be done both by yom u'b'layla. So my love ba kamitli the mar savra mashuch d'oraisa, mar savra mashuch d'rabanan, that the Tanakama holds mashuch is d'oraisa, and therefore it has to be done dafka biyom. And the and who was the other shita? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that mashuch is drabanan, and therefore it could be done ben biyom ben belayla. V'tizbra katan shavers manu mikel man diyam drabanan. Says Gemara, that's hard to say that's the pshat over here, because one of the people on the list is a katan shavers manu. You're going to say a katan shavers manu baby past the 8th day is only chayv milim drabanan. Ela dekuli alma mashuch drabanan. Now everyone agrees the mashuch bar lasso is only chayv drabanan. The katan shavers manu d'oraisa, and the child obviously after 8 days is still chayv in milim d'oraisa. V'achabah kamifli the machlok over here is as follows. Mar sover dashinan ubayom, umar sover lo dashinan ubayom. The question is whether we're doresh the vav in ubayom. That's what the machlokas is about. That extra vav, it could have said bayom hashmini yimol. Ubayom comes to include a mila shelo bezmana, and even though mashuch can't, we can't derive mashuch from that pasuk because it's only midrabanan and it's only it was only a later takana. So Rashi points out since a katan shavres mano we include from ubayom even though it's shelo bezmano, so we would be misakein the rabbanon would be kendar rice, so they'd be misakein that the same would be true by a mashuch bar lasso that he would also only have a din during the daytime. But if you don't darshan ubayom for a mila shelo bezmana, so merely you're not going to make, there's no kendar raisa to make a mashuch bar lasso do a dafka during the daytime. Ki hadi yasav Rabbi Yochanan v'kadarish nosar bezmano enu nisraf el biyom, and we have a very similar discussion. Rabbi Yochanan was darshaning that nosar, whenever you burn nosar on that first day, it's got to be burnt during the daytime. But shelo bezmano nisraf ein biyom bein belayla. But once the nosar is being left over past the ikar's man, so then you can burn it bein biyom bein belayla. You can burn it during the daytime or the nighttime. Once it's past the original zman, anyway. Veisfer Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar asked on Rabbi Yochanan, "Ein li ela nimal shmini she nimal el biyom." That may be true about mila. Minayin l'rabbis l'tisha l'asra. I'm sorry. By mila, we know that on the eighth day it can only be done during the day. Minayin l'rabbis l'tisha l'asra l'achadas l'shneim asar. How do I know that even mila shalom bezman has to be done during the day? Tamalomar ubayom, because the pasuk says ubayom. And even if you don't want to darshan ubayom by mila, by no sir, you should make such a drasha. Afilu mandal darish vav vav vehei darish. Even if you don't want a darshan of vav, but by nosar it says, it doesn't just say vinosar, it says vehanosar. So vehanosar should definitely tell you that you should only be able to burn nosar by yom, even if it's past the original zman. So essentially what Rav Elazar is telling Rabbi Yochanan is, even though there may be a machlokas whether a mila shalob zmana has to be done during the day or not, there's no room for any such machlokas when it comes to nosar. Nosar, even shalob zmana, must be done during the day.
Ishtik, Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond. Basad enough, a government Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Afterwards, Rabbi Yochanan was talking to Reish Lakish, and he said, Reisi leben pedas, she yoshe bedorish kemoshim pia gvura. He says, I just heard the most incredible drushes from Rabbi Lozer ben pedas. He's an unbelievable darshan. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so he was a proud Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, my Talmud outdid me. He said this incredible drasha. He was an Amor, Rabbi Lozer ben pedas. Rashi points out over here that Rabbi Lozer stam in the Amoraim is Rabbi Lozer ben pedas. Rabbi Lozer stam of Mishnah and Brice is Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua. So this is Rabbi Lozer ben Pedas, his Talmud. Amar le Reish Lakish, didehi masnisahi. Reish Lakish says it's nice that you're impressed by that, but it's not his own. He's just quoting from Tanayim. This isn't his own drasha. So hecha tanale, because the comment that he had was that he's darshaning like Tanayim. He's being yoshev dorish kemoshim piagvura means the way that Tanayim say drashas, the way we have the handed down Torah Shebal Peh. That's the way Rashi understands that. Belashon Tanoim, he's darshaning. He's darshaning like a Tana would. So he says, yeah, he's darshaning like a Tana would because he's quoting Tanoim. Hecha Tanalei, really, I'm not familiar with any such Rabbi Yochanan says Reish Lakish. But Torah's Karnim, he says, you have to learn Torah's Karnim. Okay, Nafak Tanya Betlasa Yomei, Mesavra Betlasa Yarche. So he went and he memorized Torah's Karnim over 3 days, and then for 3 months he lumdicized Torah's Karnim. He sat there learning in greater depth to understand fully the Torah's Karnim. So that encouraged Rabbi Yochanan to learn Torah's Karnim. Unclear why he didn't learn it before then. Like, what was he? What did he think? It didn't have anything valuable, or he thought the other midrashim and the other Mamari Chazal were enough to cover all the Torah? I don't know. It's not so clear. Tosla on top of here raises a very important issue in terms of Mila, in terms of Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Hiksha Rav Rabbeinu Ephraim Damayitzur Parakam Dikdushin Osov Lo Osad Yishlam Lachayv Lamal Aspana. Why is it that the Gemara is a special drasha Maseches Kiddushin tell us that a woman doesn't have to do Mila on her child? We just said Mila can only be done during the day, can't be done during the night time. So shouldn't that make it a mitzvah shazman gram? Mela, there's no chiv of women. So says Tosas Yeshlama de Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon Itzrich, that we only need the drasha in Kiddushin, according to Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon, that a Mila Shalom Bezman is biyom ubalayla. Aye, but you can't do it until the eighth day. He says, yeah, but Mishmona ve'elach, you could do it at all times, so that would not be called mitzvah shazman gram. But in Achnami, according to the Chum, that even a Mila Shalom Bezman can only be done during the day, in Achnami, we wouldn't need the drasha of Osov Lo Osa. So a lot of the other Rishonim aren't so pleased with that Tosos, because you're going to say the whole drasha Maseches Kiddushin is all Kalacha. We pass like the Chamim, we don't paskin like Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon. So very difficult. The Ritva asks that, and asks the same Kasha Tosos as he says a little different. He says you can't say it's a Mitzvah Shazman Grama, because outside that the Isha is Mechuyev to be Mal, her child, it wouldn't be a Mitzvah Shabagufa. Her whole Mitzvah would be to see to it that he becomes Mahul, in which case that's something that's Nogea Bein Biyom Bein Belayla. She could hire the Mahul at night, she could do things, she could plan for it at night. So that would be a Mitzvah Shein Hazman Grama. That would not be, even though the Mila itself could only be done during the day, if the woman would be Chayiv, her Chayiv obviously wouldn't be a Mila, her Chayiv would be to see to it, to arrange for a Mila. And that would be something that would be Nogea during the daytime. Turei Evin and Chagiga, though, has a fundamental chilik between different types of Mitzvah Shazman Grama. He says, when you say tzitzis, tefillin, mitzvah shazman grama. Why is it zman grama? Because there's a clear beginning time and an end time. Comes nighttime, that day's mitzvah is over. The next day, it's not the same mitzvah continuing. It's a brand new mitzvah. Haraya, if I wore tefillin yesterday, I still have to wear tefillin again today. But when it comes to Mila, he says, it's the same mitzvah continuing. It's not that the Laila is the end of the zman. So Laila is not a zman that it's kosher to actually do it, but the mitzvah still continues into the next day. He says, that's not called a mitzvah shazman grama. Because if you get a bris mila today, you don't need to get another one tomorrow. Amar Rav Lazar, Aral Shiza Azah Asuk Sherev. An Aral does the Azah of the Efer Paraduma, it's kosher. Midid Ava Tvul Yom, Shalf Pishasu B'Shuma Kosher Parah, just like a Tvul Yom, who's not allowed to eat Shuma, but is kosher to do the Azah of the Parah. Mal Tvul Yom Shekein, Mutter B'Meiser. How can you prove from Tvul Yom? Tvul Yom is Mutter B'Meiser, not like an Aral. Atu Anan La'achila Karminon. Yeah, but we're not talking about eating things over here. Anan L'Negia Karminon. We're talking about a status of Tuma. Can they touch things? Umat Tvul Yom Shasu B'Negia the Shuma Mutter B'Para. A Tvul Yom was not allowed to touch Shuma, still allowed to do the Azah of the Parah. Aral Shemutter B'Negia Enu Din Shemutter B'Para. An Aral is allowed to touch Shuma. For sure, he should be allowed to do the Azah of the Parah. Tani Nami Achi. Aral Shehiz Azah Asuk Sheirav. An Aral does the Azah is Kasher. Umaisa Yevichshir Chum Azah Asu. And it was even a Maisa Shaya where the Chum actually allowed it. Meisvei Tumtum Shekidish Kiddusha Pasul Mneishu Savik Aral Varal Pasul Kadesh. But if
of a tumtum does the kiddush of the meipara, we said that it's possible because he's a suffik aral, and an aral can't do the kiddush of the meipara. Androgynous shekidish kiddush kasher, an androgynous can do it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af androgynous shekidish kiddush psulim neshe suffik isha v'isha psulim in the kaddish. Rabbi Yehuda says an androgynous is also disqualified because he's a suffik isha, and an isha can't do the kiddush of the efer para. Katani mia aral the suffik aral pasul mil kaddish. But bottom line is, it says that an aral and a suffik aral cannot be bekaddish the meipara. Amar Rav Yosef, haytana tanda be Rabbi Akiva hu demarbi leila aral ketame. This must be assumed like the tanda be Rabbi Akiva, who says that an aral has a din of a tame. The tiny Rabbi Akiva Omer ish ish le rabos haaral. Rabbi Akiva says ish ish comes to teach me an aral. So Rashi understands that Rav Yosef comes telling me that Rabbi Akiva holds an aral is ketame mamish. He's actually metame b'negia, and an aral is not allowed to touch truma. So that's the question: to what extent he's actually literally like to consider tame, that he's going to be able to be metame other things. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up with Amar Rava tomorrow.